care deeply about protecting innocent life. And to those who, Afghans who've lost innocent civilians, we grieve with you.
Well, I'd like to know how many Afghans have lost innocent civilians. I'd also like to know what the hell that means. Oh, well. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. We are back in Madison, Wisconsin, later on tonight on the delayed basis. The mic, 94.1. Did I get it right, Kathy?
Yay!
So it's really good to be back in Madison, Wisconsin, one of the, for a number of reasons, one of the most important cities in America. Always has been. But, no, seriously. Seriously. If you don't know why, just do some research on Madison, Wisconsin. Go back quite a few years. McCain's so-called straight talk became X-rated as he fired off the F-bomb at Republican Senator John Cornyn. After Cornyn questioned McCain's stance on the immigration bill, these Republicans... Jesus is our co-pilot, but F you. You know, it's just, I don't know. I'll give you his comment later on. A matter of fact, after 11 o'clock Eastern time tonight, I think I'll quote him verbatim. And if the FCC gets pissy about it, I'll say, look, this is a quote of a United States senator. If he can say it on the floor of the Senate.
Well, didn't stop Cheney from firing it off at Leahy anytime he wanted to.
Right. So, yeah, I think I'm going to try that tonight. What? You're shaking your head. You want me to stay employed?
I enjoy food.
Oh, okay.
And so does Molly.
You know, McCain, when's he going to just go away? He's not really running for president. He sings a parody Beach Boys song about bombing Iran. He talks about how safe it is in Baghdad while strolling around in full body armor, pretty much, and 100 troops surrounding him, 2 armed helicopter escorts flying overhead. Jesus, now this. Don't you love watching this happen to the Republican Party? Just eating itself. Just caving from the inside because it's rotten. It is really, it has been. It has been since the 80s. It's just been decaying from the inside. And it's almost fun to watch it go down as long as the Democrats feel they can control things when they start to spin out of control, as they surely will. We had a situation with Nixon where his... I don't know if Kissinger was his special advisor then or Secretary of State, but the word went out to the military that if Nixon ordered a nuclear assault against anyone, that the military was to check with Kissinger first. I believe that was unprecedented in U.S. history. And I hope that the same thing has now been set up by somebody. Maybe the military has done it on their own. That any sort of a frantic, insane order from anybody in this crime family, that it be checked. I mean checked as in playing chess. I don't mean checked to see if it's real. I mean stopped. So we do have some moron sounds to share with you on the program tonight. Chucklenuts met with the NATO Secretary General. And... you know, NATO is heavily involved in the war in Afghanistan because the Afghans were about to attack Western Europe, and they had to be stopped. See, I got very pissed off back in the late 90s when Clinton used NATO to bomb a European country that had done nothing aggressive to any NATO member state. And the reason I got pissed off is not because I thought, not because I fully understood what was going on between the Bosnian Muslims and the Serbs, and I thought I did, but maybe I didn't. But because the Charter of United Nations, the Charter of NATO was written specifically to be an organization that would respond as a group if any of their member states were attacked, ostensibly attacked by anybody, but actually attacked by the Soviet Union or any of its Warsaw Pact countries. You know, it was Cold War gamesmanship. So when Clinton found it okay to participate in the NATO using its military to attack Serbia, I guess you could make an argument, and a lot of people did, that an argument said that was proper use of NATO because there was a genocide going on. Okay, what about Afghanistan? Why is NATO in Afghanistan? Yeah, I don't know either. Anyway, the NATO Secretary General went to Prairie Chapel to do whatever these world leaders do when they meet with this moron. And Chucklenuts laughed and joked his way through the Q&A with reporters. I guess no one wanted to interrupt another one of his mini vacations and his little giggle nuts back and forth with reporters with the deadly news about Lebanon, or the civilian deaths in Iraq, or the increased violence in Afghanistan. I guess not. But you'll hear him just giggling and carrying on. Speaking of Afghanistan, Dr. Loris Boy Dirk. I know it's spelled Derek, but I pronounce it Dirk because she spelled it when he was born, D-E-R-Y-K. That looks like Dirk to me. So Dr. Loris Boy Dirk is stationed in Afghanistan, and it seems he could use some special kind of therapy on his own, possibly involving electrodes and a tongue depressor. We'll tell you why in a minute. I know, you already know why, but we'll tell you again in a minute. And in an interview last week, Dr. Loris said she raised Dirk to be, her words, a warrior. If Dr. Laura was your mother, would you not grow up a sociopathic serial killer? Of course you would. And so has Dirk. He just found a way, his mommy found a way, to legalize it for him. Go over there and kill them! This is all over the internet and the mainstream press. Salt Lake Tribune is where I first saw it. Dr. Laura's son linked to lurid webpage. Whew. This is what the Salt Lake Tribune says. The soldier son of talk radio relationship counselor Laura Schlesinger is under investigation for a graphic personal webpage, the page that one Army official has called repulsive. The MySpace page, publicly available until this past Friday when it disappeared from the Internet, included cartoons depicting rape, murder, torture, and child molestation. It also included photographs of soldiers with guns in their mouths, a photograph of a bound and blindfolded detainee captioned, "My sweet little Habib," accounts of illicit drug use, and a blog entry headlined by a series of obscenities and racial epithets. The site is credited to Dirk Schlesinger, the 21-year-old son of talk radio personality known simply as Dr. Laura. One blog entry on the Schlesinger site said, "Yes! Effing yes! I love my job! It takes everything reckless and deviant and heathenistic and just overall bad about me and hyper-focuses these traits into my job of running around this horrid place doing nasty things to people who deserve it and some that don't." Oh my God. Go take on the day? Dirk has been in the Army since 2004. Dirk did not respond to an email seeking comment from the Salt Lake City Tribune or the Salt Lake Tribune. A spokesman for Dr. Laura released a statement which said in part, quote, "We hope all news media outlets will respect his privacy for his safety and the safety of those serving with him," end quote. No. That was Prince Harry, you dumbass, not this little Dirk, son of a half-witted sociopath that does radio in America. Oh, my God. There's more. Well, I can talk about this because on Air America tonight, on the Air Americans, they're going to interview, who's that guy from Sanjay from American Idol. That's what's happened to Air America. Different side of me.
Get him up against the wall. Now there's one in the spotlight. He don't look right to me. Get him up against the wall.
This is for you, Dirk.
And that one looks Jewish. And that one's a cool.
Oh, God. What do you call it when you think the whole world is paying attention to you and your twisted son? Delusions of grandeur, is that what you call it? Oh, by the way, Jeff Harris will sit in for us tomorrow night. We have a chance, and we got them, tickets to go see Roger Waters here in Atlanta. So Jeff will sit in for us. How often do you get a chance to do that? You know, the boss said, didn't you just come back from a week? And I said, yes, but this is Roger Waters.
Well, we bought these tickets for our wedding anniversary months ago.
So. That's true. It was our 10th anniversary. Back to Dirk. His website indicated, Dirk Schlesinger, Dr. Laura's spawn, his website indicated that the 21-year-old soldier, this is reported in the Salt Lake Tribune, is stationed in Kandahar, Afghanistan, where Dirk writes, quote, godless crazy people like me have become a generation of apathetic killers, end quote. Now go take on the day.
Now go do the right thing.
The website indicated Dirk's team has survived numerous mortar, rocket, and roadside bomb attacks. It also included several graphic cartoons. In one of the stick drawings, a top-hatted man laughs as he rapes a bound and bleeding woman in front of her family. In another depiction, a man forces a boy to perform oral sex at knife point as the child's mother pleads for her son's life. Army spokesman Robert Tallman said the drawings, quote, are repulsive and not anywhere near being acceptable, end quote, for a soldier's personal webpage. Really? David Aseta, public affairs director for the 82nd Airborne Division of Afghanistan, said the Army, quote, will investigate thoroughly and impartially, end quote. Now, remember, Schlesinger, we mentioned her last week because she was giving a speech. She's touring around. She's become an active duty whore, you know, like, not that there's anything, you know, wrong with sex workers, but back in the day, you would have camp followers, you know, people who would follow the Army of the Revolution here, or the Army of Northern Aggression, that would be the Yankees as they came south, or the Army of Half-Witted Twits, that would be the Southerners. And you would have women who would follow and provide a service. And apparently, Dr. Laura is doing the updated equivalent of that. She goes around to military bases and tells Army wives to quit whining. Quit whining. She was at Fort Douglas in Utah last week in an interview with the Salt Lake Tribune. Afterwards, she said, sit down for this. You sitting? Okay. She said, we raised our son to be a warrior. No. You didn't. You raised your son to be a sociopath. Just like you. Laura, two words. Three words. your dead mother. Remember? She was decayed and putrid when she was finally found within driving distance from your house? She died all by herself. Family values. Schlesinger received criticism for telling the Salt Lake Tribune, she certainly received it on this program, that she didn't want to hear the complaints of military wives whose husbands are deployed. He could come back without arms, legs, or eyeballs, and you're bitching? Dr. Laura said. You're not dodging bullets, I don't hear any whining. Later at her website, she said, I've never whined to my son when he's able to call between missions. No, it's not between missions. It's between his scribblings on his website, now gone, where he's drawing stick figures of people being raped, you psycho bitch. Raped! Oh, my God.
I wonder why Bush didn't tap Dirk to be war czar. He seems so qualified.
How about Dr. Laura?
Such joy. Blow something up. Blow something up. That's what bombs were made for, so you could blow stuff up. Come on, let's roll. Let's blow something up. Blow something up. Blow something up. That's what bombs are invented for, so you can blow stuff up. Let's roll, let's blow something up. When all else fails, let's blow something up. When all else fails.
Dreamer. Man had an idea. He didn't like the way the cotton shirts that he wore absorbed, his bodily fluids when he exercised, so he came up with a better product. It was so wonderful to sit with dreamers.
So wonderful to sit with dreamers? What would this guy have done around, Isaac Newton or Einstein? He's impressed with somebody who stops the stench from your armpits by something he puts in your shirt. Oh, my God. John McCain, moving from the ridiculous, Dr. Laura and her sociopathic son, Dirk, we now move to another sociopath, someone who's really lost it, John McCain. According to his voting record in the Senate, he hasn't been in the Capitol much this year because, he's a Republican presidential nominee. Candidate. However, he, according to WashingtonPost.com, he had a little dust-up last week with a fellow Republican. During a meeting Thursday on immigration legislation, McCain and Texas Senator John Cornyn, another right-wing sociopath, not over the immigration issue, I just mean right-wing sociopath. The two of them got into a shouting match when Cornyn started voicing concerns about the number of judicial appeals that illegal immigrants could receive under this law, this bill that McCain is one of the supporters, of which McCain is one of the supporters. And according to multiple sources, both Democrats and Republicans, things got a little testy. They were in a meeting room just off the Senate floor, and McCain started it by complaining that Cornyn was raising petty objections to a compromise plan being worked out between Senate Republicans and Democrats and the killers in the White House. And McCain used I love the way the Washington Post puts this, he used a curse word associated with chickens. Now, what could that be? Chicken feathers? Chicken feet? Chicken nodules? Chicken cubes? Chicken chunks? Is that what it is? Chicken caca? Chicken poo-poo? You suppose that was it? And he accused, McCain used that word and then accused John Cornyn of raising the issue just to torpedo the deal between Democrats and Republicans and the murderers in the White House. But things really got heated then when John Cornyn accused McCain of being too busy campaigning for president to take part in the negotiations that led up to this agreement. And those negotiations, by the way, I love the way the Washington Post put this, they've gone on for months behind closed doors. Well, of course. Show this stuff to the American public? Cornyn then said, after McCain said he was a chicken lump, chicken cock up, Cornyn said to McCain, "Wait a second here. I've been sitting in here for all of these negotiations, and you just parachute in here on the last day. You're out of line." Ooh. Now, McCain, a former Navy pilot and psychopath, then used language more accustomed to sailors or the current vice president. McCain said, "F you! I know more about this than anyone else in the room." Cornyn's office declined to comment on the incident. McCain thugs specifically denied that the senator ever claimed to know more about the immigration issue than other senators. But a spokesman for McCain said that the two Republicans, yes, had quite a disagreement. Brian Jones, the spokesman. When did he quit the Rolling Stones? A spokesman for McCain's presidential campaign said, "These negotiations can be very tense, and there was a spirited exchange." Spirited exchange? Spirited exchange. F you! Ah, your mama eats chicken nuggets. Ah, your father is... Oh, God. Good old Republicans, huh? We want to play... you want to do these now? Let's do some Bush. I'm going to do some Bush for you at Prairie Chapel, where he's meeting with the NATO Secretary General De Hoop Scheffer. I'm sorry, that's just a strange first name to my anglicized ears, De Hoop. Anyway, they got together and had a joint press conference, and Bush made some opening remarks to Scheffer. The subject was Bush's first major failure in the so-called war on terror, Afghanistan. That's what they're talking about, Afghanistan. And, you know, just think about the people dying and the wars going on and the arms being blown off and the violence in Lebanon caused now, directly and indirectly, by Bush. Think of all the blood being spilled all over as you listen to this moron.
Laura and I are really happy to have you here at our place in Crawford. And thank you very much for being Janine with you. We had a lovely dinner last night. And, now that's what you'd expect when friends get together. We spend a lot of time talking about Afghanistan. Afghanistan requires more than military action. Support a long-term comprehensive strategy to help strengthen Afghanistan's democratic institutions and help create the economic opportunity that will help this young democracy survive and thrive.
Is either he's totally delusional or obviously he thinks we are. I wish one of the reporters would say, "Hey, I hear it's a bumper opium poppy crop. Huh? What do you hear of that? Hey, Bush, how about Dirk Schlesinger? He could be the new war czar. He had all the requisite qualifications. He's a racist, loves war, likes to kill people, gets off on torture, loves sadistic rape, so on and so forth. Why wasn't he considered, or was he not tough enough for the job?" We appreciate the fact that Afghanistan requires more than military action. What does that sentence mean? What does that mean? That's right. Nothing. Now, a little bit from the Q&A portion of the Dog and Pony Show. Don't ask which is which. I don't want to embarrass myself here. Bush limited the questions to two from each side, the NATO side and the American side, because, you know, there was brush to cut and varmints to slaughter. And Bush tries out a brand new Latin term. He does. It's a big day for him. The reporter said, "As you know, there are mounting civilian deaths in Afghanistan. Is it your concern that those deaths are eroding the ability of NATO and coalition forces to do their work.
Let me comment on that real quick. Yeah. The Taliban likes to surround themselves with innocent civilians.
Yeah, innocent civilians.
That's their part of their modus operandi. they don't mind using human shields because they devalue human life.
Yeah, not like you.
That's why they're willing to kill innocent people to achieve political objectives.
That is like you.
And obviously, to the extent that the United States is working with our NATO allies, in combat, we care deeply about protecting innocent life.
That's why we keep killing them.
And to those who Afghans who've lost innocent civilians, we grieve with you.
Yeah, right.
To the Afghan families that have been affected by the Taliban using them as shields, we have great sympathy.
How about those Afghan families where the Taliban is not using them as shields, but we're using them as practice on bombing runs? How about those people? The ones where our military intel insists that the number two man for Al-Qaeda in the known world, including Mars, is meeting in a hut in Frappelnap, a little village south of Candleackle. And we go ahead and bomb it. Oops, what? It was a christening? Oh, really? A christening of five village children. I see. And they were all killed. Yeah, obviously, they're little. You know. How many adults were killed? 30? So 30 plus 5. Oh, 35 people. Okay. Now, we don't talk about that. Modus operandi.
How about the innocent Afghan families that happen to live anywhere in the vicinity where Dirk Schlesinger is stationed?
Modus operandi. Could you play just the first three sentences there? I want to hear him say that again.
Let me comment on that real quick. The Taliban likes to surround themselves with innocent civilians.
Innocent civilians.
That's their part of their modus operandi.
That's good. You said it real slow, just like they told you to. Innocent civilians. Is that like in Agata Davida? The Taliban likes... Play that again, please. Listen to this.
Let me comment on that real quick. The Taliban likes to surround themselves with innocent civilians.
Innocent civilians.
That's their part of their modus operandi.
Operandi. Ooh, son of a bitch. That's pretty good. My Latin teacher, my old Latin teacher, Miss Schaff, would just be absolutely thrilled to hear you say that. Innocent civilians. In Agata Davida. Wow, man. As long as we're talking torture and dead civilians, next up was a question about Abu Gonzalez, which we will share with you right after this most important commercial and station break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I should choose to make a part of me, but surely strike me dead. And now I'm one toe over the line, sweet Jesus, one toe over the line. The lunatic is in my head.
I sometimes get encapsulated in a bubble.
You raise the blade, you make the change, you rearrange me till I'm sane. You lock the door, throw away the key. There's someone in my head, but it's not me.
It's about 9 before the hour. Okay, torture and civilians and dead civilians. Next up in this Q&A with Bush and General NATO Secretary General DeHoop Scheffer. Next up was a question about Abu Gonzalez. The reporter said, Mr. President, the Senate is considering a vote of no confidence in your Attorney General. And some Republican senators have joined Democrats in calling for his resignation. Is it your intention to keep Alberto Gonzalez as your Attorney General for the rest of your administration, regardless of what the Senate does?
He has got my confidence. He has done nothing wrong. There's been enormous amount of attention on him, that there's been no wrongdoing on his part. He has testified in front of Congress, and I frankly view what's taking place in Washington today as pure political theater.
Yeah, that's all it is.
And it is this kind of political theater that has caused the American people to lose confidence in how Washington operates.
There you go.
I stand by Al Gonzalez, and I would hope that people would be more sober in how they address these important issues. And they ought to get the job done of passing legislation as opposed to figuring out how to be actors on the political theater stage.
You would hope that the political theater stage? Oh, my God. I would hope that people would be more sober. He said that? Okay, you first. Modus operandi. There's been no wrongdoing on his part. Well, except for all the times that there was wrongdoing on his part, like lying to Congress and changing his story and not remembering practically anything he signed off on during his tenure so far. He's testified in front of Congress. Ooh, that's impressive. Is that the problem or the solution? Is that a cause or an effect? Modus operandi. And by the way, chuckles, Congress was not too happy with his testifying, even the Republicans.
Let's not forget how he bullied a dying John Ashcroft into trying to sign off on accepting warrantless
wiretaps. No. They were just there to check up on him.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, John?
Sign this.
Yeah. Look a little yellow.
I'm sticking by him. Because if that son of a bitch ever gets off the reservation, ooh, I'm toast. Last one before Bush has to get sober about some serious fishing and cow observing at his ranch. the decider got to trot out another new foreign word in this clip. He is a happy rancher. On Carter's recent criticism, the reporter says, Mr. President, Jimmy Carter unleashed some fairly harsh criticism of you over the weekend. Were you surprised by this, and do you take much stock in what he said?
I get criticized a lot from different quarters, and that's just part of what happens when you're president.
No, it's not.
I will continue to make decisions that I think are necessary to protect the American people from harm.
Oh, my God.
I will continue to make decisions based upon certain principles, one of which is my strong belief in the universality of freedom.
Well, you're a foreign
man. We're at war with an enemy that is relentless and determined.
Yeah.
And it's essential that the decisions I make protect the American people as best as we can.
Bless you, Daddy.
And I also realize that we're involved in an ideological struggle.
Yeah?
That these murderers, these radicals, these extremists have got a point of view.
Wow, that's profound.
And so, look, I understand some people are, you know, may not agree with the decisions I made, but what the American people need to know, I'm making them based upon what's best for this country.
Some people need to know?
And anyway, thank you all for coming. It's what was the word?
Gazella.
Gazella. Yeah. You talk about some good gazella. Thank you all.
What? Gazella? What the hell is a gazella? Do you have any idea?
I think it just means like a good meeting or happy times or chicken poop. I'm not sure. Something like that. Or maybe it's what they had for supper the night before.
Gazella.
Or it's what they were going to go kill out in the brush.
That could be. He says what the American people need to know, I'm making decisions based on what's best for this country. You can't be serious. Every decision you've made, you evil son of a bitch, has been a decision that has harmed this country and put everybody here at risk, all sorts of risk, not just from your imaginary carpet flyers, you know, jumping around the world on their magic carpets, killing, bombing, destroying. No, not just from them. You have put every American at risk with your trade policies, your safety and health policies in the workplace, your farm policies, your environmental policies. You have ruined the country, Mr. Bush. What do you say? I understand some people may not agree with the decisions I make. Some people? What's 75% of 300 million? What is that? Huh? What is that? 200 and... It's a lot of millions there, George. Gazelig. That's how many people don't appreciate what you're doing. Oh, God. Gazelig. Modus operandi. Yeah. Okay, we'll be back after the break, and we're going to do some phone calls. So would you like to join in? 800-989-1480. This is the Nova M Radio Network. Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. All right, lots of stuff going on, but I don't know. I'm not feeling very talky tonight. Probably because I have not taken a lot of calls for seems like forever, and I hate that. So let's do some phone calls tonight. Okay, start with Al. Al is calling from West Palm Beach, Florida. Al, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. I just want to give you a bit of Dr. Laura history as far as my experience was concerned. I remember when Dr. Laura used to take phone calls from gay couples and everything. That's how far back I remember listening to her.
Oh, my God, and she tried to be supportive?
Well, at that time, you know, you take a person, you know, a talk show advice thing at face value, and she seemed like, okay, common sense things about, you know, how to behave and be proper and love your parents and all that kind of stuff. But then after a while, like anything, it kind of started to take a weird edge, and where she would, like, say, you know, I've learned something where I'm not going to ever use reason. I said, she says, wait, he says, well, people always find reasons for things, so that way they don't have to take responsibility for their actions,
right.
Things like that. But one of the times it really, really, I suddenly realized that this woman really doesn't have a full deck was when some poor soul called up and talked about the problem she's having with her in-laws, where it was, I don't really recall, it might have had something to do with the husband, their belief system or something, but the poor woman was on the verge of tears. And Dr. Laura hung up on her and started giggling. And the girl was like saying, please listen to me, please listen to me. And she hung up on this poor lady and started giggling. And I said, this woman has something wrong with her. And
yeah.
She lost me as an audience member and everything. I said, anyone who can just hang up on someone who's in the verge of tears looking for some kind of support and what to do and how to deal with this situation. She just hangs up, and she, you know, pretty much like she did with those soldiers' wives of just shut sure. up and be great. I said, this woman hasn't got a full deck. And years later, I started, you know, it came out about, you know, her mother and everything and saying, okay, and this woman had. I mean, she's obviously lost most of her original audience, I think, or at least a good portion. And I mean, the woman's obviously. I mean, it's amazing how people of that kind of mental state are given, you know, a forum to voice their opinion and give advice and everything. But you know, I mean,
yeah,
you
it,
know.
It is. It is weird. Al, thank you, Dr. Laura. You know, I think anyone in the helping professions, no matter what it is. If you're an LPN, if you're a PhD therapist, if you're an MD psychiatrist, you know, any of the professions that are designed to help people get through real weird, ugly stuff, you've got to be a caring individual at some point, some place in your makeup, in all the stuff that constitutes you. And 5 years ago, when Dr. Laura was still on the air here in Atlanta, and we were working for IE America Radio, we would come home at 1 o'clock in the morning, and that's where they moved Dr. Laura to, here in Atlanta, in the Buckle of the Bible Belt. They had her on at from midnight to 3 a.m., I think, or from 11 till 2. And we would listen to about a half an hour of it on the drive home. And it was vile, vicious. And Kathy and I used to look at each other and just in the darkness in the car at 1 o'clock in the morning and just kind of, you know, how you roll your eyes about somebody who is just being hateful and mean and sarcastic to somebody who's obviously in pain and obviously is calling this psychopath for advice. But and then finally, the ABC affiliate here in Atlanta, radio affiliate, dropped her too. But yeah, she is like so many of these people. She's evil. Now, as far as her son Dirk is concerned, it shouldn't come as a shock that this kid is totally screwed up. From the time he's been old enough to log onto a computer, he's been able to see photos of his mother, nude photos of his mother, taken by her married boyfriend years ago, that are, you know, straight out of Hustler, straight out of any of numerous porn websites of just, you know, they're not erotic. Don't misunderstand. This is pornography. And pornography, it's one of those things, you know it when you see it. Had the pictures been posed differently, they probably would have been considered or classed as eroticism. But this is pure pornography. And this poor kid, who's only 21 now, these pictures made it onto the internet, what, 10 years ago? This kid, it's a wonder he hasn't killed himself. I'm serious. I don't know how many people who are therapists who listen to this program. But how does a child deal? How does an adolescent deal with that? How does a pre-adolescent deal with that? Because you know, when Dirk was 14, every 14-year-old he knew said, "Hey, I can see your mama's crotch. Hey, I," you know, just on and on and on. It almost makes you want to feel sorry for Dirk. Almost. So.
Apparently, it makes Dirk in need of some electrodes and conductant.
And something to bite on when the energy surges through his body. It's a shame. It's just a shame. For him. I mean, it really is.
Can I tell my favorite story? Just real quickly, I don't know why this has stuck in my head for decades now, apparently, but it was Dr. Laura who said that when she goes to a restaurant with her family, that would be Dirk and her husband, that when they eat, she makes them order the same food. So if they went to a Mexican restaurant, no menus, just we're having beef tacos. We're all having beef tacos. And that way it was like eating at home, except, you know, without her actually cooking and the fact that, you know, they weren't home and they were in a restaurant. And so if they went, you know, no matter where they went, there's poor Dirk. Mom, can I have a burrito? No. We're having tacos. Everyone's having tacos. That's what we're having. You know, go take on your taco.
This is in the annals of radio, talk radio or therapy radio or whatever radio you want to call it. This woman stands alone. She is unique. Kay is calling from Miami. Hey, Kay, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I recently learned about your program, and you're just remarkable. Really, you're a breath of fresh air with everything that's going on in the media today. Thank you so much for everything you do.
Well, sure.
And I hope to be a supporter of your program. You're just so bright, and you're right on point. Mike, I'd like to bring your attention to something. You know, there's a lot that's going on about how stupid these guys are, these guys beating our administration and the way that they're guiding the war. I think it's not stupidity, it's just pure evil. This was written about back in the 80s by an author named Ralph Schoenman, who wrote a book called The Hidden History of Zionism. Of course, that's a taboo subject. Now, I'm not talking about Judaism, I'm talking about Zionism, which the Jews, unfortunately, are victims of Zionism as we're victims of these neocons, the same thing. So it's no attack on the Jews. In fact, the author himself is Jewish. Ralph Schoenman wrote a book where he describes the meetings, and he identifies the meetings when it was decided that we are going to attack Iraq, with Israel, of course, with Israel's support. You know, nobody talks about all these independent contractor security companies that guided our military people that were running Abu Ghraib. They're all Israeli companies, and they're all Israeli security agencies. And this was all written about by Ralph Schoenman, and the idea was to divide Iraq into three separate Kurds and Sunnis and Shiites, and Joe Biden comes out with this incredible plan as if it's an original thought, of course. You know, calls himself a Democrat, but it's not about Democrat or Republican. It's about corporatocracy. And what we're seeing here is all planned out, all laid out. The number of troops that are there, the chaos that's there, that's the way we're able to steal all the oil. And now they're talking about the oil sharing laws that are going on, or that Parliament is supposed to, Iraqi Parliament is supposed to approve and vote on, and our Congress is pressuring them to vote on. 80% of the oil then will come to our companies. This is what it's about.
I hear you. I hear you, Kay. You're absolutely right. That's exactly what it's about. And I think most of us have figured that out now. Oh, and by the way, just in case you don't know, of course, I've got a couple of emails here. I guess I should mention that each time I bring up Dr. Laura, her degree, her doctorate is in physiology, physical science, not anything to do with the so-called helping professions.
Well, you could tell that just from her internet photo shoot.
That's true.
And if we send our sons and daughters off to fight our wars, is there anything left home worth fighting for? Hey! And if all our good intentions simply pave the road to hell, are the parking lots there paved with apathetic souls as well?
Little did I realize we'd get the trifecta.
You evil bastard. You evil bastard. Bush wants the Iraqi people to have a celebration because it's the first anniversary of the puppet al-Maliki's non-existent government. There is no government there. Either Bush knows that and thinks we're buying the story, or he doesn't know it and keeps talking about it. So I try to imagine what such a celebration would be like in the streets of Baghdad and Fallujah and all the bloody, sad, dead towns and cities in Iraq. And this ignorant man wants the Iraqis to have a celebration. Good God.
I'm still reeling from the fact that he and his wife, Laura, the other Laura, seem every time they talk about the Iraqis to just focus on how ungrateful they are for being liberated and stuff. Why aren't they happier? Why aren't they pleased? Why aren't they celebrating? You know, come on, you still have some family members left alive. You know, you're in a tent somewhere. Can't you party?
It's awful. What's this? We have three open lines. The number is 800-989-1480. Stu is calling from Sacramento. Stu, welcome to the program. Hey,
hello.
Stu. Hi.
Hey, boy, hard to get around all these things you're saying, and I'd like to report something from Sacramento here.
Okay.
I haven't seen it in the press too much, quick in our paper. A bunch of these bases they left behind in to close down with a bunch of toxic waste. They've been cleaning and cleaning and cleaning them. Well, they've decided to make it the state's responsibility now. And they've even done something worse. They've capped the toxic dumps and say, no, it does not require any more cleaning.
Yeah.
And I just had to pile one more on the heap.
Yeah, one more endangerment of the American public thanks to the Bush crime family. It's incredible. Thanks, Stu. Leonard is calling from Glendale, California. Hey, Leonard.
Hey, hello there, Mr. Tom Paine, modern Tom Paine. I know you don't take compliments well, but...
No.
Actually, it's Glendale, Arizona, even though I know Marion Morrison, I think his name was John Wayne, lived out there in Glendale, California for a while.
My bad. I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know, we got the Super Bowl out here, and a lot of people weren't happy about it. I'd be paying for the stadium. But anyways, hey... I just wanted to say, you know, Laura Schlesinger, you know, or this lady's son, and I heard her before, and she's horrible. She degrades other human beings, and she gets paid for it and enjoys it. But her son, you know, that's the kind of soldiers you got coming back. I mean, my friends, when I came back from Iraq, you know, were like, hey, Clark, come on over here. Look what I got in the trunk of my car. You know, I got your 9mm, your hollow point bullets. These guys... You're carrying your 9mm and your machine gun around, and you got a trigger-happy finger because you don't know if they're going to try to kill you. Some of these guys are not realizing, my fellow soldiers, when they get back, that maybe they can be a little less off the trigger, you know, and they don't need to have the weapon. So he needs serious psychological help, you know, and then unfortunately, she didn't do something as a mother. I don't know what it was, but anyways, I just wanted to thank you. I'm glad we've got you on Nova M. I don't want to hear about American Idol. Even though we do have a girl from Glendale, Jordan Sparks. But anyways, I don't want to tune into Air America and hear about American Idol. And I just hope we get you on 50 more stations, make it 100, and we get these sponsors. And I'm trying to push people out in this part of the valley in Glendale, Arizona. So anyways, you just keep up the good work. It's an honor and a privilege to, I know you don't want to hear this, but to actually hear a modern-day Thomas Paine. You tell it like it is. You tell me to go to hell or anybody that you see, you know, that you believe, that's the truth. So thank you, and thank your wife there. And please, we got you out here, and keep an eye on your back, okay? Thanks a lot.
All right. That very nice call, Leonard. You make me feel, you know, undeserving of the compliments, but they still feel good. Thanks, thanks, Leonard. Quick break. We'll be back. I'm Mike Malloy.
The red you hide behind that mask you use. And did you think this fool could never win? Well, look at me, I'm coming back again. I got a taste of love in a simple way. And if you need to know while I'm still standing, you just fade away. Don't you know I'm still standing better than I ever did? Looking like a true survivor, feeling like a
faster than a flying monkey, more powerful than a special prosecutor. It's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
26 before the hour. A couple of quick emails here on the Dr. Laura thingy, so to speak, from Arlene, who writes from Maine but used to be licensed in California. Arlene writes, you know, the doctor thing, the doctor, with quotes around it, the Dr. Laura thing has always pissed me off because I am a psychologist with a PhD. The Board of Psychology in California has jurisdiction over all of us, but what can they do to someone who is not licensed under their auspices, yet puts doctor in front of her name as she counsels people? Not in their jurisdiction. She is a major sham. The general public doesn't know about all the ins and outs of licensure and various levels of education and credentialing, so she gets away with murder. Yeah, I have a good friend in Seattle, Dr. Roger Libby, who is a sociologist. And his PhD is in sociology. And he's a counselor. He's a therapist. He treats people. Matter of fact, eventually he may have a program here on Nova M. But he used to live here in Atlanta. He's been in Seattle, what, Kathy, about 10 years, 11 years. And we used to have long, vigorous conversations about this fraud, this crazy woman. And from our friends at headonradio.com, as in Head On Collision, headonradio.com, Bob Kincaid there, one of their many exemplary talents, sent this in. Mike, assuming Dirk saw the photos of his mommy, it probably did have some sort of negative impact on him. But at the end of it all, if his mother used principles similar to the so-called advice she dispenses on the air in raising young Dirk, then it's a small wonder he hasn't been found wearing a clown suit with a rifle in a bell tower somewhere. Come to think of it, though, that's very similar to what he's doing, isn't it? I see a lot more danger in hate than in some skin, even if it is really nasty, skanky skin. And that boy was dipped by the heel in hate, like some perverse right-wing Achilles. Can you imagine what a firestorm there'd be if Dirk had been the son of some liberal? O'Reilly would develop stigmata, and Hannity, that life support system for a haircut, would spontaneously combust. Since it's a hateful wingers kid, though, well, hear the crickets? Yeah. I hear him. Back to your phone calls. Dan is calling from San Diego. Dan, welcome to the program. Hey, Dan.
Hello, hello there, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hey, I just want to say really quick that I've always admired you. My mother listens to you daily. I mean, all day long at work. She's a post office worker. But anyway, I was just curious because I feel like I'm a lot like you. I mean, I pretty much say what I feel. And it's gotten me in trouble. And I was just wondering, my mother tells me, I put like a little sign on my car. I'll say something about Bush. But just trying to get the word out somehow, you know, or even just put on the radio station number on there to somebody so they know to listen so they get some info, you know?
Sure.
People that don't know. But anyway, make a long story short, I was just wondering, don't you worry that, you know, what you, like, they might do something to you or something for what you say? My mom says I should worry about it.
No, I don't worry in the sense that I think you mean it. I've been in Atlanta for almost 40 years, and I have been threatened so many times that it just became kind of redundantly stupid.
Really?
Oh, really? Yeah. When I worked for a local radio station here, they were definite death threats and bomb threats and all kinds of crap. Sure. But, you know, as I've said on the air, I was advised to learn how to shoot a fairly substantial firearm, handgun, and get a permit to carry it. And I did that. I did that for 16 years ago.
Wow.
And you know, I make my and I hate it, but that's just the way it goes. And I, you know, I'm not going to be Alan Berg too by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, I make my trip out to the police firing range to be recertified every year. I don't have to do it except every 2 years, but I go out every year and just do it. But no, I don't worry about it too much. I really don't. If I did, I you know, it would just be. Now, I've got other things to do. You know what I'm saying, Dan? I've got a kid to raise. I've got a wife that I love. I've got a house to that's bankrupting me. you know, we're planting tomatoes this year in upside-down buckets to see how that works.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm very grateful. My dad was CIA. He died a year ago, and he was all that secret stuff. And he always told me, you know, he told me he'd take him out if he could, but he's dead now, so they can't get him.
I hear you.
I'm glad that he don't have to see what's going on now, because he was almost like crying when they went into Iraq.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Dan, I got to leave it there. I want to get some more people on. Thanks a lot, Dan. I appreciate what you had to say. Take care. I hope you call again. Chris is calling from Oakland, California. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks. And thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I want to say that, and I want to let you know that I am so grateful that you are on the air. I really appreciate you and your program.
Thank you.
It's become a mainstay for me. I don't miss it.
Well, that's very kind of you. Thank you very much.
And as for these people that you must talk about on your program, such as Dr. Laura and all the other sociopaths in this country that has the ear of millions.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just feel so overwhelmed, and it wears you down to constantly hear about what goes on in your country. And of course, I want to hear it because I want to know what's going on. I want to be aware. But it can be very disheartening at times when it just never seems to end. It just goes on and on and on,
right?
With these dreadful people in our society, including a leader who should not be a leader, but there he is, big and bright every day. That's another reason I appreciate
big and bright.
I cannot bear to look at him or to listen to him.
I depend
on programs like yours for the sound bites.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you certainly have my gracious thanks.
Well, that's very kind. Again, Chris, thanks a lot. I appreciate you checking in. We do live in very curious times politically. I guess we live in curious times pretty much all the way around. Before my mother died, we used to talk about the curious times when she was in her 20s and her teens and 20s, going through a depression, going through an attack on Pearl Harbor, going through everything this country went through during World War II. And we used to compare notes, like, you know, all right, whose generation, mine or hers, had the most weirdness? And it's all relative. You know, weirdness is relative. And I think it was Zappa that said 90% of everything is weirdness anyway. I know, don't send me what he really said. I know what he really said. But, I know what you're saying, Chris. It's... For anyone who has a heart or a soul or a sense of justice or a longing for normalcy, how's that? Just flat out longing for normalcy. And I don't mean the kind of normalcy that floats around inside Laura Schlesinger's head or George Bush's head. You know, by any objective measurement, these people are true sociopaths. They really are. There's no question. There's no question about that. None. And I probably share a common hope, and that is that we can get through the time left with these Bush thugs in office. What is more frightening to me than George Bush, the individual, or any of his henchmen, is the fact that 45% of Republicans still support him. It frightens me not in a sense of, I'm scared, but it frightens me in a sense of what's going to happen to our political system, because any demagogue that comes along, like Bush, like Mitt Romney, like Giuliani, like other candidates who insist they're running for the presidency, they are going to, you know, the same kind of sociopathic madness. These 45% are going to go for it. If not for those people, for somebody else. And I've never considered myself to be naive. I've considered myself to be ignorant. And that's a long, slow process from which to emerge. But but never naive. And I don't understand, I truly don't understand, you know, having read Eric Hoffer's The True Believer years and years and years ago and all this other stuff, I have a handle on the so-called true believer, but I don't understand these people. I don't understand what it is they want. They want more war. They want more poison in their food. They want a quicker end to the planet. I know the religious nutballs do, but the ones who are not necessarily religious nutballs, what do they want? Do they want more pain and suffering? More expensive, unaffordable health care? I don't know. It's just don't break your mind trying to figure it out, Chris.
Mike Malloy Show. Talk radio matters here.
Well, we know the NSA is listening. Several of you sent me the link to this story, and coincidentally, I had kind of found it on my own earlier today. And this the headline, it's out there, Bush anoints himself as the insurer of constitutional government in an emergency. Matthew Rothschild wrote this on Friday, I think. With scarcely a mention in the mainstream media, President Bush has ordered up a plan for responding to a catastrophic attack. In a new national security presidential directive, Bush lays out his plans for dealing with what's referred to as a catastrophic emergency. Under that plan, he entrusts himself with leading the entire federal government, not just the executive branch. And he gives himself the responsibility, quote, for ensuring constitutional government, end quote. He laid all this out in a document entitled National Security Presidential Directive, NSPD 51, and Homeland Security Presidential Directive, HSPD 20. The White House released it on May 9. Other than a discussion on Daily Coast led off by a posting by Leo Fender and a pro forma notice in a couple of mainstream newspapers, this document has gone unremarked upon. The subject of the document is entitled National Continuity Policy. It defines a, quote, catastrophic emergency, end quote, as, quote, any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption, severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government function. End quote. That could mean another 9/11, or another Katrina, or an earthquake in California. The document emphasizes the need to ensure, quote, the continued function of our form of government under the Constitution, including the functioning of the three separate branches of government, end quote. But it states flat out, quote, the president shall lead the activities of the federal government for ensuring constitutional government, end quote. The document designates a national continuity coordinator. I wonder why they didn't call him the national continuity czar, who would be the assistant to the president for homeland security and counterterrorism. Currently holding that post is Frances Townsend. She is required to develop a national continuity implementation plan and submit it within 90 days. As part of that plan, she is not only to devise procedures for the executive branch, but also give guidance to state, local, territorial, and tribal governments and private sector owners and operators of critical infrastructure. The Secretary of Homeland Security is also directed to develop planning guidance for, quote, private sector critical infrastructure owners and operators, end quote. Now, you don't have to be more than an eighth grade graduate to understand what these words mean. And the document gives the vice president a role in implementing the provisions of the contingency plans. Oh, God. Was it Chris? No, it wasn't Chris. Who was it? Asked me if I was worried about what I say. No, not really. In an event that would activate this particular illegal, unconstitutional document, yes, I would be afraid. Because at that point, I'm fairly certain that I would organize with my neighbors here in our little corner of the foothills of the North Georgia Mountains and put up armed resistance. That's an outrage. It's beyond an outrage. This is Hitler and the Enabling Act. So. And there's gas prices. That was the other thing I wanted to mention. It has hit a record, even factoring in inflation. It's just incredible. I know in some parts of the country it's $4 a gallon. It crossed solidly into the $3 plus here in the Atlanta area. And then the other thing that I caught my attention is the lead story on the two network newscasts that I watched tonight, ABC and NBC. And that is, here we go again. This time it's GlaxoSmithKline PLC and their drug Avandia for diabetics. Now it turns out, and the government, the FDA, had this information. It turns out that people taking Avandia have a 46% greater risk of heart attack and possibly death than people who don't take it. Unbelievable. 6 million people have taken the drug since it came on the market 8 years ago. I'm sorry, 43% higher risk of heart attack, according to a review published by the New England Journal of Medicine. The company downplayed the report of the heart risks, saying the analysis by Dr. Stephen Nissen and statistician Kathy Wolski at the Cleveland Clinic is not definitive scientific proof. Let me tell you something. Anything that comes from the Cleveland Clinic with their imprimatur on it is going to be very much carry with it medicine's approval, the doctor's approval. We stand behind this. If you're taking Avandia and haven't heard this story, you're supposed to talk to your doctor. So here we go again. Welcome back. About 7 past the hour. My name is Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network. All right, right back to your phone calls. AJ, the Music Factory, is calling from upstate New York. AJ, welcome to the program.
Hey, handsome. How are you tonight?
Doing great.
Good. Good evening to the whole family. Listen, did you get my compliment helmet that I sent you a little while back?
Compliment helmet?
Yeah, I sent you a helmet that you could put on when you get compliments so that you can absorb the shock. If you didn't get it, I can send you another one.
Yeah, well, I don't remember getting it, AJ.
All right, I'll have to send it to you because particularly on a night like tonight where you're receiving a tremendous amount of compliments, it's important to be geared up for that.
That's very true.
Listen, let me tell you, if you permit me to give you my view on this whole Dr. Laura thing.
Okay.
Probably the thing I fear most in this life is repression. And I believe that these neocons, that's what they're exhibiting, with the possible exception of Bush, who might be exempt from this by virtue of the fact that he's mad.
Yeah.
So he's in another class. But, you know, there was something on Crooks and Liars tonight about a South Dakota legislator that is up on pedophile charges.
Yeah, I read that today.
Yeah, and it's once again, if you take a look at the common theme with all of these people, it's repression. And I really believe that, you know, the human condition was meant to do everything except be confined. And when you take these natural appetites and you channel them in these unhealthy ways, you don't channel them at all. You just deny them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the thing that's it just terrifies me.
It comes out in pedophiles.
Well, it comes out in all sorts of ways.
It comes out as war and aggression and sexually assaulting children and spousal abuse. And I mean, just, yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when my wife and I were first getting together, and, you know, we had that time where we're sort of discovering each other, and she noticed that I'm sort of passionate and that, you know, if she disagrees with me or something, I might come back very, very heated, you know, it led to some very heated discussions. And she would say to me, you know, I don't like to bring this up because it gets you upset.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't tell you how that would make me shake. I told her, I said, please, the only thing that can destroy our marriage is if you don't speak, you know? When I look at these people, I see repression. I see what I consider to be the only place where evil can be incubated. And it terrifies me. And Dr. Laura is just another case, and her poor son is just another case of this repression. And this guy from Head On Radio, who was it that you just read before?
Bob Kincaid. Right.
You know, Sarge has been after me to listen to him. After tonight, hearing that reading, I am definitely gonna do that.
Yeah, they got a great network and some real good show hosts. You got to listen to it. Go to the website.
I got to do that. And the point that he makes about the guy, you know, the kid with the tower and the gun, just give it time.
Sure.
If it's not a tower and a gun, he's going to do it somewhere, sometime, because it's equational, Mike. And it's all of us. We all have the potential to do it, except that most of us choose to live a relatively healthy lifestyle and deal with these things, the darkness and the light, appropriately. Not
yep.
just sit on it and say, this doesn't exist.
And most of us don't have our mother's nude spread pointed out to us by our 13-year-old classmates.
To my knowledge,
I never went through that. Did you?
No, not to my knowledge. But you know, there are always surprises around the bend.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Listen, I bid you peace, Mike, and thank you for your good work. And I'll send you a helmet.
All right, thanks, AJ. Take care.
Right.
Take care. Yeah, I need a helmet. Damn right. Brian is calling from Wyoming. Is it Brian or Byron?
Byron.
Byron. Okay. Hey, Byron.
Pardon. Yeah, this is Byron from Joplin.
Byron from Joplin?
Yeah, I'm in Cheyenne, Wyoming right now.
Oh, this is our old friend Byron from Joplin.
Yeah, I've been
Oh, my God. All right.
Almost 25 years. I hope you don't forget me.
I had it typed in wrong here.
You know, I feel sorry for Kathy. You know, you've been greased so much tonight, you're going to be hard to take tonight.
I know, but you know what AJ was just talking about. Kathy and I had to go through that kind of shakeout. We still do. We've had some King Hell fights. They're always screaming matches because both of us, not just me, Kathy's a real tiger too. But I know. I don't know if you remember the I guess it's a Leonard Cohen song that talks about deciding who will serve and who will eat. And I've always liked that line. And if you're a couple, the wise couple will take turns serving and eating. So anyway, enough marriage counseling.
Well, AJ was right on, wasn't he?
Yeah. He was, absolutely.
Another thing I wanted to say is, before I get to my topic, was I'm sure glad I kept my Sirius radio because I've been chasing your signal for almost 25 years, and the Dravneys have done such a good job with this network. I mean, I used to have a lot of respect for Mark Green, but what he's doing with Air America is so asinine.
It's awful. It's just awful. Oh, well.
Well, to take a talent like Sam Cedar and relegate him to 3 hours on Sunday, I mean, what kind of an idiot would do that? And,
I know.
You know, I just hope the Dravneys would go after Cedar and Marin and put them together on one show. That would be a fantastic show.
That would. That would be a good one. It really,
it would
really
be a
would.
Good show. What I wanted to say is I'm so tired of these Democrats. I mean, I really am. I'm a Democrat, have been all my life, will be till I die. But, you know, like the lead story at the top of the hour, I mean, they're going to take the time schedule out of the bill. They're going to take some of the money away. I mean, they're giving up. They're caving in, and they're going to. And this guy, Bush is a monkey man, and he is not going to pass anything. He's going to say no to everything the Democrats come up with, no matter what it is, because the Democrats come up with it, until some Republicans come over and he realizes that they can override his veto. I mean, he's going to say no to everything.
Sure.
And
Byron,
your
signal dropped for a second. The last we heard, you said until some Republicans come over and can override his veto.
Yeah, he's just going to say no to everything. He's not going to say yes to anything the Democrats come up with.
Right.
I mean, these Democrats, look, they're caving in. They go, they, you know, your news spot at the top of the hour said,
right,
well, they're going to cave in and wait till, you know, later on in the summer where they can, where they can challenge him. BS. I mean, they're so wimpy. It just makes me sick.
I hear you, Byron.
Just makes me sick. Well, look, let Kathy take you home tonight and, you know, put your big head to bed.
Oh, yeah, right. All right. Thanks, Byron. I appreciate you checking in. Don't be a stranger.
I don't get a chance to call that often. You know,
No kidding. I haven't heard from you for 3 years.
Well, I'm out here on the road all the time, and every time I call, I use my cell phone, and it usually dies before you answer the phone.
Well,
and but I send you these little text messages, and I'm sorry for the brevity, but you know, send a yikes to me once in a while. Make me feel good.
I get them all the time, and I read every one of them. And I know it's from the Roadrunner, right?
No, Byron from Joplin.
Byron from Joplin. Yeah, I've got. I'm sorry, I'm looking at something else here. I get your messages. I read them. I digest them. And in most programs, I incorporate them. You just don't know it.
Yeah, you've got so many listeners now. I want to go back to the old days when I had to go to Atlanta to listen to you.
I hear you.
Hey, good show, buddy, and take care of yourself. Watch your top knot.
All right, thanks, Byron. Watch your white line. We'll talk again. Take care. Yeah, he's been a listener, a supporter, caller. God, Kathy, since forever. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
To twist the people's wrists. They're watching every move we make. We're all included on their list. Disagree. Oh. 'Cause when the man
makes a switch.
You know, a dictatorship would be a heck of a lot easier. There's no question about it.
Almost 22 past the hour. Matthew is calling from Bedford, Texas. Matthew, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Man, when you were talking about the what Bush is passing or wanting to pass during the next disaster,
right.
You know, yes, I'm pretty sure that some NSA people and some right-wingers are listening to this program. I have to say, is this what you want? Now, yes, a lot of these neocons would love a Bush dictatorship, but really, for some of those more moderate people, is this even, I mean, is this worth it? Is this really worth it? And what patriotic person would allow a democracy, America a democracy, something that they champion to defend, to become nothing other than a dictatorship?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is ridiculous.
I know, it is.
I mean, I try to make light of some of the events, but when somebody wants to take a country that I live in and I still want to have faith in and wants to turn it into, I mean, we can say that Bush is a fascist, and he is, and we can say that Bush wants to turn this into an empire, and he does, but when he actually starts wanting to pass legislation that begins to turn this country into a autocracy, then there has got to be something done here.
Well, and Matthew, the horror is this: he's not seeking legislation. This was a presidential directive that apparently has no check and or balance. I guess the only check and possible balance would be if somebody would challenge this before the U.S. Supreme Court, but it would have to be challenged, I would think, only after it's actually implemented. And by then, it would probably be too late. So I don't know. This is a very deliberate step on the part of Bush, and you can see Cheney's gnarled claw involved in this and some of these other neocon freaks, killers that operate around Bush. But this is unbelievable.
Well, anyway, what I called about to get to the point was, and I'm not listening to every media, both liberal and conservative, they're talking about the 2008 elections and the front runners, but there's one person who's, you know, kind of standing out to me as a threat, and that's Fred Thompson. He hasn't announced his candidacy, but I'm pretty sure he will, unless something happens.
Fred Thompson, the Matthew, he's a real right winger.
I know. And could he be a threat to a Democratic victory in 2008 if he won?
Oh, I see. Wait. Explain it to me again. You would vote for Fred Thompson?
Oh, hell no.
Okay. But you think maybe Republicans will?
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of. And you know, no, I'm voting Edwards or nothing or Gore. But you know, is Fred Thompson a threat to us in terms of
the quick answer to that is Republicans are by nature and by genetic structure apparently followers, and they. Fit very comfortably into cults. And even when people are not necessarily seeking to be a cult leader, which I doubt Fred Thompson is trying to do, someone like Fred Thompson could be elevated to cult-like status in these people's addled minds because they're terrified. Republicans are terrified. They're not terrified of Muslims coming here and cutting their throats and beheading their spouses. What they're terrified of is freedom, justice, morality, balance, you know, human rights. So Fred Thompson could very easily become like a cult leader for Republicans, but I think Republicans, for the most part, are not going to vote in the Republican, in the upcoming presidential election because there's no one out there. Let me put it this way. Republicans, I think, are starting to realize, some of them are coming out of the ether and realizing how their party has turned into some kind of a destructive force where it concerns self-governance. So those are the thinking Republicans. So I there's a good chance Republicans just will stay home.
Well, let's hope they do.
And I'll guarantee you, evangelical Republicans are not going to vote for somebody like Giuliani. All right, Matthew, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate you checking in. Sorry for the abrupt hang up there, pal. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Laura Pigglesbush. When Georgie falls asleep, I creep into the Oval Office, sneak a ciggy, and turn on Mike Malloy. Then I reprogram Georgie's speed dial. The simple pleasures.
Five before the hour, regarding Bush's presidential directive, wherein he assumes all power of all three branches of government if under certain conditions. A lot of you are writing in to tell me this, so let's take Alex's email from New York City. Mike, the definition of catastrophic emergency means any incident. He's quoting, Alex is quoting from the directive. Catastrophic emergency means any incident, regardless of location, that results in extraordinary levels of mass casualties, damage, or disruption severely affecting the U.S. population, infrastructure, environment, economy, or government functions. End quote. So Alex writes, in theory, then, any strike by any union could be deemed a disruption. Enough said. Alex. Yeah, that's pretty all-encompassing, that so-called presidential directive. It is. Back to your phone calls here. Let's see. Who's up next? Chuck in Knoxville, Tennessee. Chuck, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right, sir. How are you?
All right. Listen, I got to tell you, when I first listened to you, when you first came on Sirius, I thought, what spaceship did this guy come in on?
Yeah, man, I know. A lot of people feel that way.
It really was like that. But, man, I've lived a lot. I've learned a lot since then, man. You definitely got a handle on it. These guys are nuts.
Yeah, I wish I didn't have a handle. I wish this stuff wasn't really happening. But this affects everybody in this country, and it's pretty scary stuff. It just is, Chuck.
I got to tell you, man, I'm absolutely livid. I cannot believe that I live in a country in this day and age where we're still dealing with things like fascism and corporate greed to the degree that it's gone. People are dying by the tens of thousands, and nobody seems to give a shit. I mean,
wait. You can't. There's certain words you can't say, Chuck, and that's one of them. So we'll talk again. But I know a lot of people who listen to this program on Sirius. Feel that we are only on Sirius, and we're not. We're on regular radio stations. On Sirius Satellite Network, you can pretty much say anything you want to say, use any language you want to use. But when you're doing over-the-air broadcasting like we are, there's certain rules and regs that you still have to abide by. Don't ask me why. Using a certain kind of language at a time when the country is being gutted by real criminals is kind of odd and ironic. But that's what they insist on, Chuck. So we'll talk again. But you just have to watch the language a bit.
Well, was that John McCain?
No. No, that was Chuck in Knoxville. But I understand that it's difficult to call this program, especially when you hear some radical like me using certain curse words or slang words, or and then get told, well, you can't say that one. It doesn't make a lot of sense. I agree, but we're kind of stuck with that rule, Chuck. Sean is calling from Buffalo, New York. Sean, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I love your show?
Yeah, well, you just did. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah, no problem. You just were talking about that presidential directive, and I think the way they're going to do it, they're just going to see, how close is Fuhrer or Rudy in the polls coming up to election day, and do we really have to do it or not?
Mm-hmm.
If they do, they'll keep them in office for as long as they can.
I hope that doesn't happen, because there's an awful lot of people in this country.
Like you said, time to get that other box.
That's right. That's right. But
hey,
I think there's enough people in this country who would not let that occur.
I hope so. Hey, one other thing. I was wondering if there's any chance you could get Mark Maron on the show one of these nights, like you had Sam on the other night.
We need to do that. I like Mark. We had a chance to see him here in Atlanta three weeks ago. He does stand up.
I heard about him being out there. There's a friend of mine from a blog, MorningSeditionist.com.
Mm-hmm.
I know she went out to the show.
Yeah, we'll try to get Mark on. He's very good at what he does. Very good.
Yeah. All right. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right. appreciate you checking in, Sean. Take care. Phil is calling from San Diego. Hey, Phil.
Yeah, good evening, Mike. Thanks for being there, and welcome back to full-time San Diego, California.
Yay. Thank you.
Yeah, really, man. Really neat. I'm on the same wavelength in regards to this continuity presidential directive. I was wondering if you could refer me to, if there's a website or an article or a newspaper.
Yeah, you can read it in its entirety. Hold on a minute.
Because this has to go to the Judiciary Committee. I mean, we got to impeach this clown. I mean, it's disgusting. It's so like.
Okay, what you do? Let's see here. Google this.
Okay.
You ready to write it down?
Yeah, I'm all set.
National Security.
Mm-hmm.
Presidential Directive.
Okay.
51, number 51.
Do I just put?
Yeah, just go. Yeah,
one
just
of those number signs and then 51, or just 51?
Just Google it. Just those four words: National Security Presidential Directive, and then the numeral 51 with a space after directive, and something will come up for you.
Cool. Yeah, the thing to me is, it's like they might as well just call it neo-continuity.
Right.
I mean, this guy, I just like. It's I don't know, it's just astounding. It's like, what is he going to do when there's a disaster? Go fly in a helicopter and tell everybody, yeah, it looks pretty bad down there. I'm going to roll up my sleeves now and do nothing. I mean, he doesn't do anything. It's like a make-believe, let's make-believe I'm the leader. You know, you're all my. Have you ever heard of a movie? It's called, I was watching it the other night because I hadn't seen it in a long time, but it was a Western. And it was a true story. It happened back in 1890. It had to do with the robber barons, the Johnson County War up in Wyoming. Who else is from Wyoming, of course, but the VP,
Yeah, really. What was the movie?
Heaven's Gate. It was a bomb, but it was like, I watch it, and it's like, it's as if I'm watching what's taking place.
No, I haven't seen it. The only reference I have to Heaven's Gate was those crazy people that drank the poison or whatever they did to get on Comet Cohotec. I guess it was Comet Cohotec. But
basically, this movie is like the robber barons hiring a bunch of thugs to go assassinate 125 seditionists.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, maybe that's what the whole Blackwater thing and all of this.
Well, that's the scary part. You know, people talk about the 150 or 160,000 soldiers and Marines we have in Iraq, but you very seldom hear about the 140,000 private contractors. There are several companies, probably the largest is Blackwater, that have private contractors there who are responsible to nobody. You know, when you're operating in a lawless situation, by definition, if you feel like raping, killing, setting fire, butchering, you can do so because there's no restrictions or prohibition. And what these people are getting, if one wanted to really look at the dark side here, is the same thing that the Al-Qaeda fighters are getting, and that is absolute first-class bloody experience in how to do hideous, horrendous, utterly destabilizing guerrilla, urban guerrilla warfare. So not only has Bush invited in Islamists to hone their skills, but he's also sent, or not sent, but he's invited Americans who will have the kinds of skills needed to butcher and subdue a population here. So these are not pleasant things to even think about, much less talk about. And that's why, you know, I realize, you know,
you're
I said,
just telling the truth. I mean, you know, it's like,
well, it's stuff. You know, it's out there, and I wish I lived in a place that was a little bit different from where I live. But since I live where I live, I'll tell anybody who wants to ask me if you don't at some point, preferably sooner rather than later, get yourself a weapon, learn how to operate it, then you're failing in your duty as American. I never thought I would say that, never, but that's where I am.
Oh, Mike, I was going to ask you if you ever heard of a song, because to me it's like they could use this song as what's taking place with everything. I mean,
yeah, what's
it was
that?
An old 80s song by Hall & Oates, and it was called Private Eyes, but basically all about privatization. Privatized. You're watching me.
I hear that. Phil, I got to go. Thanks, Phil.
Take care.
All right. We'll talk again. Before the hour, don't forget Jeff Farias will sit in for me tomorrow night. Thank you, Jeff, in advance. Thanks to our crew tonight, Ian Huff, who engineered and answered your calls from KPHX, our flagship station in Phoenix. Thanks to Chris in Minnesota, who's our senior correspondent. And if he wants to listen to the program, he has to listen online, right? I don't think we're back. Are we on? Are we? Well, it's past Chris's bedtime now. He's an early sleeper. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. And by the way, if you haven't checked it out yet, go to Nova M Radio or MikeMolloy.com and check out the Truth Seeker Cruise that we are going to go on this October to the Mexican Riviera. I think we're coming back. And like a lot of people who have signed up for this already, we've not cruised before. This will be an interesting experience. So check it out, novamradio.com. It'll tell you what to do there if you want to come along. Back to your calls. Chris in Charlestown, Rhode Island. Is that right, Chris?
Yeah, it is.
Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Mike. I teach at a local high school.
Uh-huh.
And a friend of mine is doing a course on dystopian literature, doing Fahrenheit, whatever that was, by Bradbury. And
451?
Thank you, yeah. Uh-huh. And Clockwork Orange and Pumpkinhead, et cetera, et cetera. And she had me come in and speak to the kids because I also teach journalism in addition to freshmen.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids wanted to know alternate media sources other than corporate media, or at least they wanted to know where I got all these weird ideas from. So I came in and I gave them some websites about Chomsky and Project Censored and Al Jazeera and stuff where I get a lot of my information from.
Right.
And to start the class, which was comprised of high school seniors, honors students. These kids are, you know, the creme de la creme in my class. I asked them about the Gonzalez hearings. None of them had heard about it.
Oh,
I asked them if they knew anything about the fact that the Iraqi government had just voted to have it get us out of there. They knew nothing about it.
Yeah.
And when you tonight was the first time in a long time when I learned about this presidential directive that I actually got a chill up my spine, because we've made dark jokes about this for a couple of years now. They're going to haul us off to the Halliburton cells and everything.
Right.
And I'm not. If and when they come for me and my family, we will go. I mean, I'm not a gun person, so I would just go peacefully. But you know, I'm not saying that's your choice. I'm not trying to disparage
sure.
that. But
no, I understand.
But it's the country is so ripe for this type of thing. I'm wondering if Bush does actually pull this martial law thing or whatever it is he looks like he's planning to do. If anybody will notice, I mean, on Nova M, this is kind of a rarefied atmosphere here. People do pay attention and they are upset, but I have to wonder what percentage of the population feels the same way.
Well, I think it'll be noticeable. I've been in situations, perhaps you have, where the military, usually the National Guard, has had to be called out. And here in North Georgia, the last time was about 20 years ago when there was a civil rights march on one of the county seats north of Atlanta that was had some pretty racist ideas. But the National Guard was called out, and there were tanks, and there were full battle gear soldiers. And I'll tell you something, it is very upsetting to see that, because you know you're in America. You know you have the right to peacefully demonstrate. You know that you're protected by the Constitution, and all of a sudden, here are very menacing-looking soldiers. Now, people can make an argument, well, they were there to protect you from the rednecks. I don't care why they were there.
Right.
The fact that they were there. Now, this has been repeated thousands of times in this country, so my experience was not unique, and I've had that experience with armed military many times at demonstrations around the country, but that was the last time I saw it where I was actually a participant in what was going on, and I think people would notice.
Well, compounded. I mean, they would notice, but I was just thinking as you were speaking, in addition to the National Guardsmen, now they have all these hired mercenaries working for Blackwater and Halliburton.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have any National Guard here in Georgia anymore. It's all over fighting Bush's occupation.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks.
Sleep well.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Robert is calling from San Mateo, California. Hey, Robert.
Yeah, Mike. Hi, how are you?
Doing fine.
Something that's been troubling me is this prognostication by the right wing that the inevitability of a nuclear attack within the United States. Well, the Bush administration has gone about miniaturizing nuclear weapons and making that more of a reality than ever before, but the investigation into 9/11 and the guilty demeanor of this administration seems to indicate that that's where it could come from. Not some foreign source, but a domestically inspired attack with a nuclear device in order to put forward their draconian domestic policies.
Yeah, that's true.
And that, in my mind, if there's ever a reason for anyone in uniform or any American or anyone who has a sense of loyalty to what constitutional government is, they need to sharpen their awareness and prepare themselves to prevent such an event like a general like Kevin Burns, it's widely believed, did a few years ago, a pretext to attack Iran, was blocked. And such a scenario, a military training exercise was planned, and he was in charge of military doctrine and training exercise. Now, he's no longer in that position. Like Smedley Butler stopped the fascist takeover in this country when the Nazis were in full swing in Europe. So
right.
I really hope that we have a lot of bench depth, strength behind the scenes, moral leadership that are willing to say, you know what, we're tired of this stuff and we're going to end it right now.
I hear you. Robert, we got to leave it there. Thanks a lot, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. I'll see it all Wednesday night. Tune in for Jeff Ferris tomorrow night. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is the Nova M Radio Network.